We're going to do it together. We have to unify, put our petty differences aside, who's more powerful, who has the information, and let's work together in lockstep. You, the people, your stories are fascinating. They're real, they're organic, and they're the truth.
Right now with Ann Vandersteel.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Ann Vandersteel, and welcome to Right Now, your 30 minutes of hard-hitting headline news, all signal and zero noise, brought to you by Satellite Phone Store. Go to sat123.com to pick up your satellite phone and all important supplies, including solar-powered battery backups that you're going to be needing. Folks, if you've been paying attention, you see the headlines. It's not getting better out there right now, but we are working together to make sure you are protected. Okay, tonight we have two incredible guests on. I'm doing a little bit different format for you. As you can see, I'm not in my studio. It is a little bit of field work today. I'm out in Salt Lake City, Utah. First up, Jason Fick. He is the founder and president of the Social Media Freedom Foundation. In full transparency, I sit on his board. He has been in an epic battle with Facebook, the United States, and now it's coming to a head. We're going to get caught up with him. And I catch you all up on how exciting things are in the fight for your voice and your freedom. Next up, Bobby Lawrence, an American state national with whom I'm traveling today. We are out in Salt Lake, and we've been addressing the situation in the city of Farmington and the sad tragedy that occurred with Chase Allen, another young American state national. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
Many watching Bridie on TV will remember the fiery speech from Dr. Alan Keyes at the annual state Republican dinner that ended in repeated standing ovations. Dr. Keyes has been an articulate and passionate spokesman for faith, convictions, and consistently strong enough to resist the tug of political convenience. Alan pierces through the ethical haze of our time and calls us to stand up for the truth, knowing that you cannot have the right to do wrong. Get your download of Our Character, Our Future, an audiobook by Dr. Alan Keyes, exclusive to the Bridie on TV audience. Dr. Alan Keyes personally read and recorded our exclusive audiobook version of his timeless essays in Our Character, Our Future for this very special promotion. You can order it by going to www.imtv.us and click on special offer. It's available at only $19.95 for a very limited time. You'll not only enjoy a tremendous savings, but you'll get an amazing piece of literature read by Dr. Alan Keyes himself. Get yours today. Go to www.imtv.us and get this Bridie on TV exclusive offer.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And it's great to be with you this evening. I'm out in Farmington, Utah. As I promised you, I was going to head out this direction to engage with the folks here with respect to what unfolded, unfortunately, on Wednesday, March 1st, this very, very sad tragedy here in the town. The town is still reeling from that. More on that later. But up now, the founder of the Social Media Freedom Foundation, Jason Fick, who has been in an epic battle, the David and Goliath of one man standing up to a bureaucracy of a corporate government partnership, the public-private partnership that I've been warning you about, the fascism, the people who've been silencing us. Yes, Facebook has been challenged by Mr. Fick now for the past going on, 18, what are we at, seven years now, Jason? So I'd like to welcome Jason on because this has been an epic battle, and Jason now is expecting to have an answer to his continuation of his lawsuit against Facebook that is back in the Ninth Circuit. Jason, welcome on to Right Now with me. Let's get right into the matter. You're expecting an answer from your lawsuit that you started back in 2018 with Facebook, which made its way to the Supreme Court. You were basically dismissed without being heard, and now it's become relevant again because of a case precedent that was overturned in the Fifth. Correct?
A little bit off, and let me clarify. First off, we're not back in the Ninth Circuit. We are actually petitioning the United States Supreme Court right now. We are at higher jurisdiction. Today is the deadline for Facebook to respond to our petition, although we're not expecting a response because there's really nothing that they can argue on the merits because it's correct. I mean, we have essentially cornered the problem with Section 230 and are able to explain why and how it failed. The question now is whether or not the Supreme Court will hear this case. Obviously, on the heels of Gonzalez versus Google, they were asking all the right questions, but that case just wasn't a correct fit. Ours is. So that is where we're at right now, is waiting on the United States Supreme Court.
And so what is significant about Gonzalez versus Google that has you excited about where you are with your case?
Well, and when Gonzalez versus Google went to, and most people are not talking about the other case, Tamna versus Twitter, because in Gonzalez versus Google, they were asking about recommending content, whether or not they were being held accountable for the content or whether they were being held liable for the recommendation itself. And that is what we've been saying all along, is the recommendation itself is content provision and therefore should be held accountable. In that case, several amicus, I mean, I believe it was somewhere around 50 different amicus, which are friendly briefs that come from all different directions, and they try to help guide the court. Well, there was very specific ones that are very important. Reason being is because it was the Department of Justice, it was Senator Cruz and about 16 other members of Congress, and another amicus by Texas, and obviously Ken Paxton's attorney general's office with several other attorney generals. Those three amicus were very poignant. And the reason they were poignant is because they asked the questions that we have been asking since 2018. And the most important question about the entire Section 230 problem that most people don't even know is a problem, does Section 230C1 protect any conduct at all? If the answer is no, we fix the internet. If the answer is yes, I don't think it's recoverable. It's that important.
Okay, so let's go with the answer is yes and it's not recoverable. What happens?
Well, at that point, it's going to require a legislative change, which I don't foresee anything in the nearby future because, in fact, I'm sure you're aware, I actually was tasked with rewriting Section 230 properly, which is not a major change. It's simply about restricting the courts, essentially guiding them as to what was supposed to be. That's called the Online Freedom Act.
Right. And how is, tell me who has been in receipt of the Online Freedom Act when you circulated, who has reviewed it and who has gotten behind it as a solution?
That's a name drop. Not sure if I want to drop names out there because right now I'm very disappointed in our congressional members. It has obviously been mostly Republicans who have seen it, have reviewed it, and have done absolutely nothing. I want to hope that the reason that they haven't done anything is because they simply don't understand it yet. Because it's very hard to convey what is essentially a 2.5 decade long problem in, you know, a 30-minute meeting, which is generally truncated to about 20 minutes, and then you're supposed to explain everything in a headline. It's really just not possible. They need to understand the problem in order to fix it.
Okay, so a lot of people don't even understand what 230 means. They don't understand, you know, how Facebook and Twitter and all the social media companies have been able to censor people, deplatform people. I mean, this has been a battle. This has been a fight for a long time. The left is finally waking up to it because they've been on the receiving end of some of this as well. I want to move to the conversation that happened on Twitter Spaces last night, because lately you have become quite the darling on the Twitter Spaces circuit. You're getting bigger and bigger crowds. And yesterday I had the opportunity while I was flying to listen in on some of it. I would say probably a good three quarters of it, but I think I missed probably the best part towards the end. Bring us up to speed on what the genesis of that space was and how it concluded, why it was such a significant space, probably the most significant one you had in terms of imparting wisdom on the people who were listening and from those that were engaging.
Well, Anne, I think my methodology to running any kind of Twitter space, and for those that don't know, Twitter has this function where you can go in and it's like a real town square. You have hosts and then you have speakers and then you can listen in to, as to what they say. You can request to be a speaker if you have questions. The way that I run my spaces is for information and solutions. I don't want to go in there and just rant. We all know there's a problem. That's not helpful. And to say, oh, I was harmed this way, or as we know. The question then is, how do we resolve this? How do we organize? Well, social media across the board has basically suppressed any kind of real information. We know that that's a problem. This is the one area where it can't be suppressed. Now, they tried. Last night, I was having all sorts of technical glitches, which, of course, was just coincidental. People were being dropped out of speakership. And I mean, there was a lot of different problems. But last night's space was dedicated to a specific topic, which was Jacob Chansley's family, the members that were involved with him when this was, of course, who we all know as the QAnon shaman. Although I will say he would rather be known as the American shaman, that is coming directly right from his family. And, you know, we had his attorney stop in. We had his friends stop in. You obviously were there in the background. I know you'd sent a question through, but I mean, Mel Kay, Anna Kate. We have a lot of like big names come in. We had Brandon Straka stopped in and ask a question. I mean, you get to have direct conversations with notable figures. It's a really great thing to do. And we're having another one just as a heads up, I believe, with Dr. Malone and the Unity Project tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, these are really big opportunities that we weren't allowed to engage in this fashion before because we were all shut down. And what I find interesting is the January 6th narrative has been so censored. People have been deplatformed over it. They tried to hold back on all the video footage. It's just coming out now. So this is really exciting, that the sort of the trajectory, the trend that we see all this going. Let's talk about how regular people can actually engage in the process that you have been doing now and laying this groundwork going back to 2018. 7 years later, you've now built the Social Media Freedom Foundation. You've gotten lots of good people sitting on your board, but you're also holding a very big event, and you've got some pretty key figures that are coming to headline this event and speak at the IES coming up in May 11th
and 12th. Yeah, 11th and 12th.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about that.
So it's called the Internet Equality Summit, not the Equity Summit, the Equality Summit, because we are supposed to have an equal footing on the internet. Everybody's supposed to have the same opportunity, and good ideas, you know, they like cream, they raise to the top, and bad ideas shouldn't. I have to thank, I mean, we do have some very big names that are coming. Dennis Prager is our keynote speaker, and this is actually going to be really exciting. Let me tell you about this. Dennis Prager has agreed to have a live public debate over internet free speech with the executive editor of Occupy Democrats. This is the first time we are going to have an open live conversation about the problem from both sides of the political aisle. And that is just what this is. This is a nonpartisan event. It is a charity fundraiser for the Social Media Freedom Foundation. You can find us at socialmediafreedom.org. We can use your help because this is the real fight. You know, we are not big. I'm not a big famous figure looking for clout. I'm here to solve this problem for America. And that's what IES is about, is let's have this conversation.
Right. And then this is exactly what you have been working diligently behind the scenes. I mean, selflessly, I might add, you've actually sold property to keep funding the fight, which God bless you, Jason. I don't think many people would do what you've done. And there's been many opportunities for you to throw in the towel and cash out. I'm sure that offers have been made. Let's what's in it for the person or the people that want to attend? What's in it for them that are going to come and attend an Internet Equality Summit to not only hear Dennis Prager talk, you know, in a debate format, but what else will they learn? Why would people want to attend the IES?
Well, we have put a focus on giving both sides of the political aisle a voice. We want to hear from everybody because, of course, like I said, good ideas rise to the top. So if you hear both, honestly, you can make your own decision. So I believe Dr. Malone is going to, and I will say that we are not paying these speakers. They have donated their time. This is an entirely donated event. Everybody is, and everybody who is coming and attending this thing should be commended for such. They are doing it really for our benefit. And I would say that the walk away here is that you're going to get information that you don't normally get. You never get the conversation. Let's just have a conversation on the matter. And that's what we're trying to facilitate here is that not just big names, not just about clout. We don't need the biggest figures. We need the best figures. We need the people that are really talking about good information. And hopefully we can align that. And it is going to be in Orange County, California, May 11th and 12th. Dennis Prager is going to be speaking on the 11th. And you can find it pretty easily. It's the initials IES23.com. So it's the Internet Equality Summit in 2023.com. And hopefully it'll turn into a real thing. You know, like we'll have it on, you know, maybe biannually. Who knows?
Well, Jason, this is really exciting. Today is a momentous day. Facebook has until about 3 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, to respond to this lawsuit. Expectations, yes or no, will they respond?
I don't believe they will. There's no way to argue the merits. All they can do is argue that status quo is the way we should go, but it's not. We care about the interests of the public. Thanks for having me, Ann.
Facebook has demonstrated they don't. They really don't. So, Jason Fick with the SocialMediaFreedomFoundation.org. Thank you so much for your time and your service to our great free speech and our nation. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Ann. Take care.
All right. We'll be right back after this commercial break with Bobby Lawrence, an American State National, and what we have learned here in the beautiful town of Farmington, Utah.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
And welcome back to Right Now. Ann Vandersteel here in Farmington, Utah, joined with Bobby Lawrence by cohort, my good friend and an American State National like myself, we came out to Farmington. We both flew out from the East Coast yesterday, arriving here late yesterday evening to meet with the city folks here in Farmington and talk about how we can be of service, how we can be of education, and how we can learn from them about this horrific tragedy that unfolded here on Wednesday, March 1st, when a young American State National by the name of Chase Allen engaged in a traffic encounter, traffic stop with the Farmington Police Department that resulted, unfortunately, in gunfire from the police on Chase, and he lost his life. A tragic situation that just did not need to happen. But, you know, Bobby and I had a meeting today with some folks in the city of Farmington, and we felt it was incredibly productive. So I really brought Bobby on here because I wanted to give everybody an update because we take this very seriously, and we take our standing in honor as Americans very seriously. And it's not about, you know, trying to get out and be above the law or below the law. We stand with the law, on the law of the land. And Bobby, how much, you know, what was your takeaway today from the meeting we had in the city of Farmington?
The takeaway started out, I thought it was really good. And then I thought we had a point there where they were a little apprehensive because they weren't quite sure what our intentions were. And I think both of us together, we were able to show them that our intentions were good. Mm-hmm. And that our main goal in coming out here to meet with them was so that something like this never happens again. And we came together, we had a meeting of the minds on that point that this is not good for anybody. When someone loses their life in a traffic stop, that should have never happened. And not placing blame on anyone.
No.
Just clearly stating that things obviously got out of hand and that issue is under investigation and shall be determined not by us. Our goal coming here was to learn about what they knew about American Nationals, to listen to their concerns, and then to educate them
right
about what we are as American State Nationals, that there is a huge difference between us and a sovereign citizen.
And that was the big concern when I first reached out to Bobby about this last week. I said, Bobby, there's a narrative being painted that American Nationals are sovereign citizens. And for those that don't know what either is, a sovereign citizen as an American State National is concerned is an oxymoron. They're two totally opposite meanings. Sovereign is one of free. You are in control of your entire, you've taken control of all jurisdictions of land, air, and the water. We'll talk about that later, but you're in control of all three areas of the jurisdictions of law. A citizen is a municipal servant. So you can't be both. You simply cannot be both. And unfortunately, there's a narrative that's being pushed out there by people in different branches of our government that may or may not know what they're talking about. They don't understand what they're saying, but it's simply not factual. And so we really need to be very careful because words matter. And we all remember that Bill Clinton moment, right?
Yeah.
It depends on what the definition of is. And yeah. Words matter and they have meaning. And so that was our intention to come out here. Both of us flew out here on our time, our dime, because we take this very seriously. And as Americans, you know, we are standing on the law of the land, Bobby.
Yes.
And we've got to be very clear about that. And of course, when you're operating in other aspects, whether you're operating in commerce, other laws apply. And so people need to understand that this is something to be taken seriously and you have to be able to defend it. And so what do you think the folks in the city of Farmington learned today?
Based on their questions and based on how the tone and tenor of the meeting went, I truly believe that they want to know why would you become an American national?
Mm-hmm.
What is a state national? They truly want to know how that applies in today's society. And I think there was genuine concern. Based on the eye contact we had with the individual we were involved with, and there were a couple people that we had interactions with, based on the eye contact, their body language, their facial expressions, their openness to listening to us and asking questions, engaging us, I think they truly want to know what is an American national, what is an American state national. And I think the concern is genuine that they don't want anything like this to ever happen again.
Right.
And they even invited us back. We didn't have to tell them here's our card, call us. You know, the one that we were meeting with, one time we were about an hour into the meeting, and one time someone came and said, hey, we have a meeting here, get ready for it. 15 minutes went by, the meeting had started, and then someone again came and said, hey, they're in the meeting, you gotta get there. More time went by, and then he looked at us and said, listen, how am I gonna get a hold of you? After this all calms down,
right,
this is an unfortunate incident that happened, you know, when people's feelings aren't so raw about it, we'd love to have you come back out and maybe do a seminar for us, or, you know, teach us more. And great, so they asked us for our contact information. We didn't have to force it all. To me, that was huge. And they continued to ask us questions after their all the meeting had already started. So to me, that shows me that they were genuinely concerned about not knowing information. They wanted to know the information.
And so one of the things that we wanted to make very clear to the city of Farmington is that, you know, because you're an American state national doesn't mean you consider yourself above the law. It actually means you take the law very seriously, and it's the law of the land. We are no longer operating in the law of commerce on a daily basis when we're doing our personal business or we're traveling in our personal automobile. We're operating in the law of the land, and we needed to help the city of Farmington understand the difference between what a U.S. citizen is and what an American national is. And as I explained last week on this show on Friday, as an American national, even the United States government recognizes the state national status. Even the State Department recognizes it as so much as our passports, yours as a U.S. citizen and mine as a state national, both reflect you can either be a citizen or a national. If you open your passport book on the very first page, it talks about that. So this is not a foreign idea. It's not some, you know, manufactured status.
It's not stuff made up.
It is real. And so this is why it was very critical for us to help educate the city of Farmington so that they can educate their law enforcement about the status. And I think, you know, when there's a clear understanding of who you are and where you stand, then everybody can work cohesively and operate cohesively together. Now, what you're seeing on the screen right now is a website, statenational.us. There's another website that you can go to if you want to learn more about becoming a state national and all of the wonderful, you know, different benefits of being a state national, of what true freedom means. You can go to 1776live.us. And that website is actually where Bobby and David Strait, myself and others will be conducting a very large conference coming up on May 11th through the 14th. Want to talk about that briefly? A couple of minutes left.
Yeah, that's going to be a meeting. It's our first national convention of free men and women who have corrected their status. And that means you can correct your status to be from a U.S. citizen to a state citizen or an American state national. So this is our first national convention, a coming together of we the people, peacefully, non-combatant. And we're going to be able to be with people of like mind that know what the movement's about to restore our constitutional republic. I mean, we're not at war with anybody. We're at peace. You know, we support government. We want a constitutional form of government. It's not that we're above the law or below the law. We seek protection in the law and at the law.
Right. Right.
So, and that's what we're about. Being at peace, remaining in honor, and then funding government properly and not through taxation.
That's right. And that was one of the questions we received from the city asking, you know, well, do you pay taxes? Well, or how does government get funded? Well, yes, we do fund government. And that's a process. And I have gotten about a little bit more than halfway through the process. And now I'm really going to have to expedite the final half because I have a duty and a responsibility to make sure that I am funding the necessary services that a government that we the people constitute is funded to provide those services. You can't just right, and you cannot just shirk those. Those are our duty and responsibility. They've been enumerated in our founding papers. We have about 30 seconds left, Bobby. How do you feel about this meeting? And would you want to come back out and meet with the folks here in Farmington?
Definitely want to come back out and meet with them. They invited us to come back out, and we're waiting on that call. And I'll be here, and I know Ann will be here.
Absolutely.
You know, this is about us coming together as the American people for the betterment of every people.
Every people. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you bearing with me as we are on the road and in the field. But as always, it's exciting. And I love this country and I love America. And I'm just so proud to be on this walk and this journey to freedom with all of you. God bless you all. Have a great evening.